saw your tweet, and according to your tweet, Akeem Alou seemed to think that the meeting he had with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly was positive, and that he sees change coming. He's looking forward to being able to see it.
Yeah, I think that I was holding the microphone and I was paraphrasing, but I think he, if I remember correctly, the words he used to describe the commissioner and the deputy commissioner was they're receptive to his ideas. I think that's what he said.
Okay.
But generally he painted a positive impression. You know, I did, before I spoke to, or before he released a statement today, I was speaking to someone from a team who said, you know, there's a Board of Governors meeting coming up early next week in California, and it sounds like a lot of what has been raised over the past week is now going to be at the forefront of that agenda. Hmm. So when he says that there's big change coming, that seems to be what people inside the sport are talking about, at least based on what now is going to be discussed at that Board of Governors meeting, apparently.
So, Elliot, there's a couple of things here, two immediate questions. First, how much do you think the meeting with Akeem Alou is fact-finding versus a larger, broader conversation about racism in hockey?
I think it's probably... I don't know how much fact finding there needs to be, and I'm sure he was asked, "Is there anything else that you wanted to say?" Because I think that I think that all of Calgary's information that they did in their investigation was turned over to the NHL. I find it very hard to believe that the NHL wasn't doing investigations of its own at the same time. So we're in a situation now where I think probably a lot of it was known unless there was something else he had to tell them. I think I certainly got the impression, and he didn't speak for very long. He spoke for, I think, less than a minute, that this is about, okay, now what's going to happen and what's going to come next. And I am under the impression that's going to be a very big part of what comes the next few days and weeks and months.
Ellie, based on your reporting, or just even based on sort of your analysis, there's been a lot of things that have put out that have sort of been put out into the ecosystem now regarding specific coaches, former players talking about specific coaches. What do you know about active investigations from the NHL?
Well, I think the ones that we know about are Crawford. I think that, although I guess I guess Sean Avery has a video out today. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah.
And he dialed it back a little bit, right?
Yes,
is
yes,
that
he
what
did.
He said?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we'll see what that means and where it goes. You know, I also believe that Bill Peters is still going to be interviewed by the National Hockey League. I'm not sure if that's going to happen as quickly now, but it's going to happen. So those are the only two I think I'm aware of at this point in time. I mean, look, like, guys are telling me stuff is – there's so much stuff around now, and we saw last week, you know, even though – we saw last week, you know, people were not happy at the speed or lack thereof of the Bill Peters investigation, that it took 4 days until his removal of head coach. I think if that tells us anything, it's that that's the way this is going to go. It's not going to be fast. It's going to take its time. And, you know, anything that comes to them, they'll look into. And I think, Richard, honestly, I have some people who tell me they think it's going to slow down a bit. I have other people who tell me they don't think it's going to slow down at all. So I think it's kind of hard to figure out where everything's going to go here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, Elliot, that in this situation, you know, you only get – the NHL's only going to get one chance, one first chance to do it right. And, you know, I commend them. This is going to drive people nuts. But I would rather them take their time and have everything lined up as opposed to rushing to something and then having to fudge it or maybe having to change it. I would just as soon – and I'm sure Gary Bettman, being a lawyer, would feel the same way. Just get the information. Collect information.
I agree.
To a conclusion.
I agree with that. You have to do it. You have to do it right. There's no question about that. And, you know, like, I mean, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks, if there's any immediate changes that come out of this. But, you know, if you know, like, I don't know what to expect at all from Hakeem Alyu after his meeting today, but it was certainly took a more optimistic tone than I think some of us thought it was going to take. So if he feels that he thinks that, he said he's looking forward to seeing it through. Obviously they've put some things on the table in front of him that, you know, he wants to see. So we'll see where this goes.
Want to talk a little bit about the Leafs. They get on the ice tonight in Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. Mitch Marner is, he won't be playing tonight, but it's pretty apparent, Elliot, that he's going to be back soon. Explain the salary cap ramifications for us, because he is on LITR or LTIR. I always mix them up. And the Leafs are going to have to count for that salary when he comes back, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And that will tie them up. And this is kind of like when everybody was healthy, that's when we knew that they were going to cut their roster down, right? Mm-hmm. So I think once Marner comes back, and it could be tomorrow night against Colorado, I mean, I hope so. It's our game, so you want the best reason for people to watch. Then I think that Toronto's going to be down to a 20 or 21-person roster. And, you know, Nick Shore was put on waivers today. We'll see if any other moves get made. But basically, you know, it's going to be the skeleton. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. It's either you can look at it negatively, which is the skeleton crew, or you look at it positively, and that's they got their best lineup. And because I'm just naturally a positive guy, that's the way I prefer to look at it.
Well, not exactly a positive story here, Elliot. The New Jersey Advance Media, which is NJ.com, Chris Ryan is reporting that the Devils are expected to fire coach John Hines. What can you tell us about this?
I believe that is true. Now, I heard a rumor today that Hines was going to get let go and Alain Nasruddin, one of the assistants, was going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey doesn't have an obvious... it doesn't have an obvious replacement. There's a coach on the bench, Rick Kowalski, who used to be the head coach of their American Hockey League team until he was promoted. But you didn't look at it and say, okay, who's the obvious person? Now, Chris obviously has that confirmed. I do believe the story is true. I have to tell you guys, you know, New Jersey played the Rangers the other day at home, and they lost 4-0, and the fans were... booing John Hines and calling for him to get fired. After last night, I kind of wanted New Jersey to do it today.
Yes.
Like, I think it's why, you know what that crowd's going to be like tonight. And I'm not saying, you know, like fans are frustrated. You know what that crowd is going to be like that, like tonight. I think if you're going to make the decision to fire him and you've made that decision, don't put them out there in front of that crowd tonight. That's not right.
Yeah, this is sort of, I had not realized this, but in some ways Ray Shiro is pretty, he's pretty conservative when it comes to making changes, hasn't he? Yeah, hasn't he been in the past? I think I'm just reading the story. It was handed to me. He was with the Devils in Pittsburgh from 2006, 2014. He said three different coaches, only one, Michel Therrien, was actually fired by him. So he is generally a conservative guy, is he not?
And one of the reasons that he got fired in Pittsburgh was that he would not fire Dan Bylsma.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, he does not. He's not a guy. And you know what? Honestly, I don't think he wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe that this is what the Devils want to do. But you reach a point where you have to do something. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about the holiday party, the Christmas party last night. You know, I was sitting there chatting with a couple of people, mingling like you guys were, and all of a sudden I got some texts, are you watching New Jersey? It was 5-0 in the first period. And I think when that happens, Jeff, you know, you've been around a long time. It comes to the point where I don't want to. What other choice do I have? And I think that's where the Devils are.
What is the Devils? What are the Devils, Elliot? Because there is some talent in that team. There's some young talent. There's some established talent as well. What are they? Are they a, I don't know if I'd call it a fixer-upper, but if the right person comes in there, can he right the ship? Or is it a team that does have to sort of pull in its horns, take a look at itself, and maybe, you know, continue to replenish?
I think they're a lot further away than they thought. And okay. I'm sure they're disappointed. they wanted this to be a big year. You know, they went all in. They wanted to convince Taylor Hall to re-sign. They traded for P.K. Subban. You know, you've got a number one pick from 2 years ago, and now you've got a number one pick who, you know, it will be a great player in Jack Hughes. But they just aren't, like, I've spent a bit of time watching them early in the year. You know, they're really not strong in their own zone. Their goaltending hasn't been great. You know, Corey Schneider simply has not been able to find his game. And, you know, the other guys just aren't ready to carry that load. Everything that could have gone wrong there has. They had a couple of brutal losses early in the year where they had big leads and couldn't hold them. They're just not good enough. And I do think that they will. I think they'll trade Hall. I think they're going to look to trade a couple of their other guys. I think they will really try to target young defensemen or defensemen in the Hall deal. That's why I think Colorado is a team that makes a lot of sense. I think they have interest, and they have youth on their blue line at the NHL level, below the NHL level, to make that deal done. But, you know, they had a playoff run or got to the playoffs a couple of years ago, and it was so exciting for them. And unfortunately, Jeff, it just looks like more of a blip.
Right.
Than anything that was ready at this time. They're just, unfortunately, they're just not good enough.
Elliot, I want to ask you about another team that will be of interest certainly in this market, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. At what point do the Lightning become concerned about their place in the standings?
They've played less games than everybody else, Richard, so that's one thing. Like, we had a segment last Wednesday, you know, because there's a lot of people, they talk about, you know, U.S. Thanksgiving. If you're in the playoffs at U.S. Thanksgiving, you generally stay in the playoffs. And so we did a segment with Merrick and Burke, and it was, who do you think is out of the playoffs now, who's going to be in? And Berkey looks at the Eastern Conference and goes, Tampa Bay. And I'm like, that's a really bold pick. Like, that's a really tough call. They're Tampa Bay, and they've played less games than everybody else. I think they're going to be fine. Like, you know, like, and honestly, Richard, after last year where they had the perfect regular season and then, you know, rolled snake eyes in the playoffs, like, the Ravens doesn't even matter for them. I mean, they have to get in, but nobody's going to care what they do in the regular season. Now, right. I think sometimes that creeps into your game, but, like, if I'm one of the Lightning, I'm like, I know I'm getting judged in April.